as found in the book of Romans. Romans, the 15th chapter, verses 4 through 13. And our gospel lesson would be Matthew, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 12. So I'm going to read them both, and if you will follow with me as you're able. Matthew records these words under the New Revised Standard Version of the updated edition. It says, "In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near.' This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, 'The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.' Now John wore clothing of camel hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locust and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the regions around the Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for his baptism, he said to them, 'You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Therefore bear fruit worthy of repentance. And do not presume to say to yourselves, "We are Abraham's," or "We have Abraham as our ancestor." For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now, the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but the one who is coming after me is more powerful than I, and I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear the threshing floor and will gather the wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." The reading of Romans, Paul's letter to the church of Rome. "For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, so that by steadfastness and by the encouragement of the scripture we might have hope. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the circumcised on behalf of the truth of God, in order that he might confirm the promise given to the ancestors, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, 'Therefore, I will confess you among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name.' And again he says, 'Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people.' And again, 'Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the people praise him.' And again, Isaiah says, 'The root of Jesus shall come, and the one who rises to rule the Gentiles, in him the Gentiles shall have hope.' May the God of hope fill you with all the joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." For a few moments this morning, if you would pray with me and pray for me, I'd like for us to meditate on the theme, "It has been written." Let us pray. Gracious God, again, we stand before you, an empty pitcher before a full fountain. Again, asking that you would fill this fountain, this pitcher, and overflow it. Again, Father, asking that you would allow your words to be edified, to be uplifting, to be used. So, Father, allow this message to find its way out into those you've given an ear to hear. Allow this message to find its way out to those you've given a heart to receive. Father, allow this message to find its way out to those you've given a will to do. So touch these lips now that you would be heard, and hide this body so that only you would be seen. Now is the time, in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, for a few moments, the theme, the topic, the title, It Has Been Written. As Paul was writing to the church of Rome, he says, "For whatever was written in the former days was written for our instruction." We now have a complete snapshot. We have an idea of what we're required to do because it has been written. It has been written in what we call the basic instruction before leaving earth. It's written so that you know how to act, when to act, and what to do. They're all right here. We wonder, what would Jesus do? Is that not what we say, WWJD? What would he do? We no longer have to wonder. That was good for the time when Jesus was on the earth. What would he do in this situation? They would have to think, what would Jesus do in a certain situation? Well, my brothers and sisters, we no longer have to think, what would Jesus do? Because we've got it. We know what he did. All we have to do is follow it because it has been written for us to see. Now, a lot of times what we find is that we skim over the top of it just to say we've done something, but but for this, it is required. We have to read the book so that by the steadfastness of the encouragement of the scriptures, we can have hope. If you look at what's going on in the world today, things are getting dim, aren't they? It's getting bleak. It is getting to a point where you don't even want to turn on your television. You don't want to pick up a newspaper or hear any kind of news because it is disheartening. Wars are breaking out for no apparent reason. We've got people in our own communities that are starving, that are suffering. The health is getting worse. But when we read the scripture and believe in the word that God has given us regarding his son, there is hope. Hope. Paul told them, "May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another." We're in a situation, we're in a fix because we have been divided. We have been divided by class, by age, by gender, by race. Division has come among us and we've accepted it. If we get on one accord, begin to love one another as Christ loves us, as God loves us, there is hope. But it's been written for us to realize that what we're going through, God did not intend. God didn't intend for us to be at each other's throats, stabbing each other in the back, finding ways of tearing one another down. God is a God of love, which means if we love one another, God is in the midst. But I'm sure you all are aware that love abounds. Love covers everything. Here's something I need you all to look at. Our requirement is to love one another, to read with understanding, steadfastness, to encourage one another. That's the requirement, to love one another. But there is a consequence if we don't. As Christ as we've already been told that Christ has his winnowing fork in his hands. By having his fork in his hands and he is ready to come, the consequences of us not doing what we've been required to do is that the axe is already at the root of our tree. Matthew says that every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. So if the requirement is that we love one another, that we help one another, that we edify one another, but if we don't do those things, if we're constantly backfighting, if we're constantly fighting one another and tearing each other down, God is already prepared to cut us off, to cut us down and throw us into the fire. That is the consequences of our actions if we don't do what is required. But I need you to understand and remember, folks think that we've got time to do all the dirt that we want to do, and at the last moment, we can ask God for forgiveness. It sounds good, but we understand God is quicker, can move faster than we can think. So knowing that Christ is coming again, this is what is going, what we can look for. That he's going to come. He's going to baptize with fire and the Holy Spirit. And as I've told you, his winnowing fork is already in his hand, and he is going to clear his threshing floor. When he clears the floor, two things are going to happen. One, he's going to claim those that belong to him. And the second, for those that are not claimed, they will be tossed into eternal flame. They will be burned in that unquenchable fire. So my brothers and sisters, when it comes to what we're required to do and what we're supposed to do, it has already been written. All we have to do is open the book. It has been said, if you want to hide something from somebody, put it in a book, because they will never open it to find the goodness. Well, I'm telling you this morning, it's in the book. Everything that you need to know to get where you want to go, to have a home with our Lord and Savior, is in the book. Love one another as God, as Christ loves you. Uplift one another as Christ uplifts you. Be kind to one another. It is written in the book. If you want to hear those words, well done, my good and faithful, open the book. I love how it was written. Paul reaches back and reminds us of what Isaiah has said. The same thing that was written in Matthew, what Isaiah has said. The way has already been prepared for us. All we have to do is follow. It's the word of God this morning for the people.